Good afternoon, and welcome to Celcuity's first quarter earnings conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. Before I turn the call over to Jason Tiener, Celcuity's Chief Executive, I'd like to read the following statement. Certain statements included in this conference call may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties, such as competitive factors, technological development, market demand, and the company's ability to obtain new contracts and accurately estimate net revenues due to variability in size, scope, and duration of projects, and internal issues in the sponsoring client. Further information on potential factors that could affect the company's financial results can be found in the company's registration statement and its reports on Forms 8K filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Celcuity is under no obligation to update items discussed today to reflect subsequent developments. Lastly, I would like to remind everyone that this call will be recorded and will be made available for replay via a link available in the Investor Relations section of Celcuity's website at www.celcuity.com. With that, I would now like to turn the call over to Jason Tiener, Celcuity's President and CEO, to discuss the results. Mr. Tiener, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for today's 2018 first quarter earnings call. Since we just spoke a little over a month ago, we'll be keeping this afternoon's call brief and responding to any questions you may have following the call. Since 2018 represents the first full year of operations after the divestiture of our EthoStream division, we recognize the stark contrast in quarterly revenue due solely to our remaining operations. While the first quarter followed historical seasonality within our EcoSmart sales, we were disappointed in our quarterly results for a number of reasons. The new accounting standards that Gene will detail both increased our costs for the initial implementation, but also adversely impacted the revenue recognition attributed to our first quarter results. Also, we witnessed several projects that have been delayed due to construction and seasonal weather, leading to a push in completing the projects themselves. Finally, we encountered strong headwinds in parts procurement as discussed in our previous earnings call. While this issue is not unique to Celcuity, since we are purchasing through the same channels and from the same manufacturers as far larger organizations, due to our scale and frequency of shipments, we tend to have less leverage and thus longer wait times. While the quarter did not provide the results we were striving for, we accomplished a number of milestones during the quarter in a number of areas. Through an enormous amount of time and effort, our lean accounting team was able to research, understand, plan, and enact our implementation of ASC 606 accounting standard. Regardless of size, all public companies had to roll out the new standard at the beginning of the year, and Celcuity was no exception. Gene and team did an excellent job completing the Q1 earnings on time and accurately with the small staff available in addition to their regular responsibilities and obligations. Celcuity's sales and marketing development has continued to garner success in expanding market awareness through multiple inbound marketing campaigns across numerous markets. These efforts have assisted in providing traction for our partners as well and continue to be reflected in the growth of our sales pipeline. With the release of Celcuity's new dedicated website for EcoSmart and our IoT and intelligent automation solutions, we continue to drive increased interest directly through our sales channels as well. With the addition of our gated content and industry blog, we've been recognized as an industry thought leader and drive renewed interest in the direction of technology in our target markets and our leadership through innovation in the space. Reinforcing these efforts, our engineering team has continued Celcuity's technology leadership through continued new product and product iterative releases. We've also been moving rapidly to expand internationally through product certifications for international markets. We've worked extensively with international channel partners to understand needs and initiatives to ensure our offerings meet the needs of these deployments. As part of this process, we've been awarded a grant from the state of Wisconsin covering costs for part of these certifications. We've also been moving quickly to expand third-party integrations further than any other provider within our target markets, creating a vastly more comprehensive platform than available elsewhere. Due to these activities, we've become involved in several new significant opportunities based largely on our capabilities and broad compatibility of our platform. Our continued work in these opportunities is showing great promise, and we have significant expectations from it for 2018 and moving forward. As we move forward, we continue to stress revenue and profitability as our primary goal while maintaining an eye towards strategic growth. Through continued review of all organic and strategic opportunities, The company and our board are continuously evaluating the most successful avenues towards shareholder value creation. Continuous innovation, market penetration, industry expertise, and expanding channel partnerships are the hallmarks of our value creation, and our efforts through the first quarter have centered on these initiatives. We look forward to sharing the success of these efforts and the opportunities they represent as we proceed through 2018. With that, I'll hand the call to Gene Mushrush, Talquinet's CFO.
Thank you, Jason. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Today, I will be summarizing our first quarter 2018 financial results. For the quarters ended March 31st, 2018 and 2017, Talquinet reported total revenues of $1.6 million and $1.9 million, respectively. Product revenues were $1.5 million, a decrease of 17% when compared to $1.8 million last year. Recurring revenues related to our customer support services remained relatively unchanged year over year. We posted gross profits of $551,000 compared to $875,000 for the same period prior year. Gross margins of 34% represented a 12% decrease compared to prior year. Contributing factors were an increase in inventory reserves and increased staffing for support services. Operating expenses for the quarter ended March 31, 2018, decreased 20% to $1.7 million compared to $2.2 million for the same quarter prior year. Non-recurring expenses related to last year's sale of the company's wholly owned subsidiary, EthoStream LLC, were the primary reason for the decrease. We incurred operating losses from continuing operations of $1.2 million and $1.3 million for the quarters ended March 31, 2018 and 2017, respectively. Income from discontinued operations was zero for the quarter ended March 31, 2018, compared to $572,000 last year. We reported negative adjusted EBITDAs, a non-GAAP measure, from continuing operations of $1.2 million and $871,000 for the quarters ended March 31st, 2018 and 2017, respectively. Effective January 1st, 2018, the company adopted Accounting Standards Codification Topic 606, Revenue from Contracts with Customers, which supersedes nearly all legacy revenue recognition guidance. ASC 606 outlines a comprehensive five-step revenue recognition model based on the principle that an entity should recognize revenue based on when it satisfies its performance obligations by transferring control of promised goods or services in an amount that reflects the consideration to which the entity expects to be entitled in exchange for said goods and services. The company adopted ASC 606 using a modified retrospective approach to all contracts not completed as of January 1, 2018. Results for reporting periods beginning January 1, 2018 are presented under ASC 606, while prior period amounts were not adjusted and continue to be reported in accordance with the company's historic accounting under Topic 605, Revenue Recognition. The company recorded a decrease to beginning retained earnings of $430,000 as of January 1, 2018 due to the cumulative impact of adopting ASC 606. The impact to beginning retained earnings was primarily driven by the deferral of revenue for unfulfilled performance obligations. The balance of contract assets as of March 31, 2018 and at the date of adoption of ASC 606 was $640,000 and $350,000, respectively. The company recorded contract assets of $640,000 as of March 31, 2018. Included in the contract asset balance was $330,000 of costs incurred but deferred in proportion to revenues recognized. The balance of contract liabilities as of March 31, 2018, and as of the date of adoption of ASC 606, was $1.7 million and $800,000, respectively. The change in the contract liability balance during the three-month period ended March 31, 2018, is the result of cash payments received and billings in advance of satisfying performance obligations, less $150,000 of revenue recognized during the period that was included in the contract liability balance at the date of adoption. Please refer to Notes A and C in our Form 10-Q for expanded disclosures on this topic. Regarding cash, debt, and liquidity, we reported $8.1 million in cash and equivalents as of March 31, 2018, compared to $10.7 million last year. Monies held in escrow for certain indemnification items since the subsidiary sale were received in full on April 6th. We reported working capital surpluses measured as current assets less current liabilities of $7.9 million and $11.4 million for the quarters ended March 31st, 2018 and 2017, respectively. Our current ratio dropped from 4.7 to 3.3 year over year. Cash used in operating activities and continuing operations during the quarter was $992,000 compared to $1.1 million last year. And finally, at March 31st, 2018, our debt-to-equity ratio, a measure of it of the company's financial leverage, increased from 0.28 to 0.46 when compared to prior year. In closing, thank you for your interest, and to our shareholders specifically, thank you for your continued support. I'll now turn the call back to Telkinet's President and Chief Executive Officer, Jason Tiener.
Thank you, Gene. And with that, I'll hand the call back to our operator for any questions our audience might have.
Thank you. To ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and a confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants that are using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we assemble the queue for questions. Thank you. Our first question is from Thomas Kaplan, a private investor. Please proceed with your question.
Okay, so I've been an investor for a long time. I've held onto my stock in spite of the performance over the years. What I've seen lately is announcements of changes in your sales structure. You hired a sales vice president. You've invested in channel partners and made arrangements with them, and yet I see zero growth in sales, and I find that very upsetting. Any comment about that?
I can appreciate your feeling towards the performance around sales. Honestly, I understand, being an investor myself in Telkinet, how disappointing having results that don't meet the expectations of what you're aspiring towards. With that being said, I understand that we have a lot more taking place internally for opportunities that are driving us forward, large engagements with franchise hospitality companies that take time in order to evolve. And in the beginning, initial testing and initial proof of concept deployments are what lead to much larger and more ingrained operations. And that's what we're striving to at this point in time. Unfortunately, it hasn't taken place as quickly as we'd like, but having left EthosStream, having divested EthosStream last year, has allowed us to concentrate on the development of our platform to meet the needs of these opportunities and move forward with these opportunities as we are today and moving very quickly towards successful large gauge deployments within those activities that we've been undertaking. So I do apologize that we have not been able to provide the results that you've been looking for. I do hope that we're able to meet those expectations as we move forward, but understand we're dedicating each day towards driving shareholder value, and the initiatives that we're moving towards, we believe we have the opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a question today, you may press star 1. I will now turn the floor back to, I'm sorry, excuse me, our next question is coming from Michael Budzinski, a private investor.
Good morning. I understand that the company implemented a stock buyback program, or at least the board authorized it sometime in the past. Has any stock been purchased under that program?
At this time, there has not been.
Okay. Is there any plan moving forward to do that, or can you just describe the circumstances under which you think that might be done?
Correct. The broker is given certain parameters, lows, highs, things like that, in order to operate within. However, since December 31st, we have been under a blackout period due to the SEC regulations, and we're, the company, in essence, according to a Rule B-1018, is held to the same regard as insider trading would be concerned. So we haven't been allowed to trade since December 31st of 17.
Okay. All right. It just, and Jason, it would be helpful for us to hear your vision for the future, just in broad terms. You sound optimistic. It sounds like there's a lot happening. It's hard for us on this end to quantify that. Are you able to just expound a little bit on the opportunities that you see in the future?
Absolutely. I appreciate the questions. The one reason that, or one of the largest reasons that we divested EthosFream last year was simply because we saw the market for IoT and automation within our target markets begin to increase in activity, take hold. We'd moved past the educational phase of the new product or new solution deployment and into the competitive phase, meaning instead of having to educate each one of our customers as we were offering up our products and services as to what they were and what their value was, they understood the value of IoT or automation, and now they're comparing us to other technologies in the market. That being said, obviously we work in two different veins. We look in retrofit opportunities, installing technology solutions into existing buildings, and then we work in new development, new buildings that are being built. So we educate architects, engineers, mechanical engineers on what are the value proposition of our products and services are. They take those to their customers for potential new build, new development properties. And that sales cycle is roughly a year to a year and a half. And we've seen an increasingly large component of our pipeline become or come through that new development avenue, which is new for us, which is great for us. It provides us more forecasting into the future. And the redevelopment aspect of our technology solution, we've recognized that previously we were selling into the higher end of hospitality markets, people that were less price sensitive about the solutions that they were putting in place. Currently, we're seeing that move downward in the market. It's not as much price sensitivity as it is an understanding of the energy savings, but the cost of those solutions in the lower end of our target markets is more competitive. Thus, we've created a couple of new products and solutions that fit the niche for that. They've been developed over the previous 6 months, moving through testing, moving through manufacturing at this point. So it allows us to compete across the broader markets that we service. That being said, on the other side of the projects that we talk about, that's our standard day-to-day business. We talk about large project opportunities, RFP engagements with franchises or RFP engagements with individual ownership companies. In the last couple of years, we've become engaged with hospitality franchises that have put out RFPs for comprehensive portfolio solutions, and we've been able to win not just first and second round, but have begun to deploy proof of concept properties within these RFPs. And as long as our product and solutions bear fruit in what we're describing they do and provide the type of savings that they expect, we expect to see these deployments move forward very rapidly and much larger scale. So that being said, with regards to our current opportunities, we continue to move down the road on the sales and marketing and maturing of these opportunities, but we're constantly reevaluating the strategic opportunity for the company, what the market appetite is for our business as well as our solutions, and what the greatest advantage is for us to approach the market independently or as part of some other joint venture partnership or otherwise. So in my mind, we have a great opportunity to expand our business today, but to meet the type of growth that the prior gentleman had asked about, we understand that there might be other avenues to achieve that more quickly. And as a board, as well as a company, we continue to evaluate the industry and what those avenues might be.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I wish you luck, of course, into the future. And I hope that the growth can accelerate as you would like it to. It's important to everybody.
I appreciate that, Michael.
Our next question is from the line of Brian Nelson, a private investor. Please go ahead with your question.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Brian. Yourself?
I'm good. Hey, multifamily business, how are we coming with that?
We see a lot of activity in the Northeast specifically because there are a lot of incentives available to it. The majority of our sales and activity in multifamily are through partner developments. That's simply because we don't have an extensive array of sales resources here internally. So we build market awareness within that market, and then we support our partner channel in order to move into the market and focus on those efforts. We have two large partners in the Northeast located out of New York that have seen a significant amount of activity, and we continue to grow our business in those markets through those two partnerships.
Okay. Do you have any idea what, the next quarter is going to be? This is a little bit frustrating for guys, I understand. Is it going to, you're saying the robust a couple times, are we going to have some, I think next quarter could be really a good one?
I would hope so. I absolutely expect that the second quarter exceeds the first, and I'd like to see the second quarter exceed last year and obviously be a breakout quarter. Historically for us within EcoSmart, The ramp goes first, second through third, and then kind of levels off through third and fourth. The second quarter is where we begin our educational opportunities as schools let out and we're able to begin working within the dorms themselves. That's where we start to see some revenue driven through education as well as hospitality and multifamily that we've seen in the first quarter. So we expect to see that. We have had a pretty good start to closures in the second quarter. So it's really going to be about, as Gene described, the 606 regulations, how much we can get done within the quarter in order to have revenue recognition. We're really striving to understand how that's going to impact our business and how it will play out in where the revenue drops into. One thing that the board and the company have really worked on is rather than driving towards individual quarter closures is ensuring that we meet our goals for a full year. So whether the revenue drops into the first or the second quarter, the second or the third quarter, we're trying to ensure that we meet our overall goal for 2018.
Right, I see them. I did talk to someone about utility expenses, and they've really gone up in the last 2 years. So, okay, good. We'll hope for a second better quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Our next question is from the line of Ron Klusky, a private investor. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Brian. Jason, sorry.
Hi, Ron.
I had a question regarding the debt-to-equity ratio. You've increased it. And can you elaborate as to why and what's the money being used for?
The ratio has increased mainly due to the loss that we reported on the equity side. Monies right now are being devoted, the largest items are always going to cost of goods sold, as well as the human capital aspect of personnel. We're also dealing with R&D as well as other administrative fees, but the increase in the debt to equity is being driven by the net loss, if you will, and the increase to accumulated losses.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. At this time, I'll return the floor back to management for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Once again, we thank you for joining our call this afternoon. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at ir@telconet.com or directly through our website. We look forward to speaking to you with regards to the second quarter earnings call. Have a great afternoon.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.